You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back. It's Friday night, and it's time for chaos. When I first logged on, I had my screen and my microphone shut off because I was still doing some prep, but I couldn't help but overhear Kate talking about another Kate, Kate Middleton. We here at the network love a good conspiracy theory. There is a NFL quarterback by the name of Aaron Rodgers, who's a real dum-dum. And he loves a good conspiracy theory to the point where, like, he just goes on podcasts and they'll bring something up and he's like, or he'll bring something up and people are like, the onion keeps getting peeled back that this guy is a complete whack job, one of the greatest football players of all time. But I had never heard about this one that he started touting lately, and I think it is right up the Cthulhu alley. So this is I'm reading this from the Daily Beast, but he went on this like QAnon guy talking about, briefly, once upon a time and not that long ago, there existed the nation state of Tartaria. Has anyone heard about this?
Yes.
No.
You've heard about Tartaria?
I love a conspiracy theory. Like, that's my version of comic books. Like, I will, yeah, just
this
nonstop.
Is an all-timer.
Love it.
I'll be brief.
What did he have to say about it?
Well, he just was like, yeah, this might be real. And like, when you hear what this is, to think that a human being could believe this utopian and highly technologically advanced civilization was founded somewhere in Central Asia, possibly created by giants or aliens, and span the entire globe. Life in Tartaria was an abundant paradise powered by unlimited renewable energy and jam-packed with architectural marvels, the likes of which humans at that time could never dream of erecting. So, long story short, eventually, not unlike Atlantis, the nation of Tartaria gets wiped out. But the people who believe in this conspiracy theory believe that there's no such thing as architecture. Architecture is basically a myth. Everything we know about buildings and whatnot was handed down from these Tartarians. The only reason there is anything that we consider architecture is because of what they left behind, even though there is zero proof this society
It's not that they invented architecture. It's like their level of architectural technology is way far superior than ours today, which is why you have these like grandiose, you know, old cathedrals that we can't really replicate now, which is why everything of ours is boxy, which is like, or maybe they didn't want to spend 100 years building something and didn't want to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on erecting like a cathedral.
They made the pyramids. You know, they made the White House, everything.
Yeah. Also, there's like a whole World's Fair conspiracy revolving around that. Cause it's like, how are all of these vast, like architectural, like magnificent buildings erected so quickly and then just taken down for no reason? Where we can't do that these days. And like, look how beautiful these buildings are that existed back then and how we don't have that now. There's a whole, I love how the World's Fair ties into it because that's like that. They were just trying to cover up these buildings that existed. And that's why, you know, when you look at a old building, it says founded in da 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 and not built in blah blah blah, blah because it was actually built way the hell before.
Town.
Yeah, it's I love all
when
this
conspiracy
shit.
Theories get to that point, I just get like pissed. Sometimes it's fun to be like, isn't this a fun story? But then it becomes like ancient aliens and then like oh, Greek architecture and like the Greek statues and like they were perfect. And then it becomes like vaguely like fascist a little bit. Like,
it's very colonial. It's very colonialist.
Start picking at it a little bit.
Like, it's very colonialist. Because it's like,
then? Like, what?
And not only that, it's like, oh, these civilizations couldn't have erected, like, these beautiful buildings. It must have been aliens.
It's like, because we never would have been able to figure out bread. Like,
we accept, like, galactic colonialism over, like, they could have just done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a guy at the NFL Combine who's coming out of college who I don't know why he was asked anything that had to do with this answer, but he answered some questions like, well, I don't know if I even really believe in space.
Excuse me?
Yep. He's like, I don't know if I'm buying that into planets and space and all that.
Okay.
It's like, we're done. We're done.
Yeah.
Man. Well, let me ask you this, Rob. You ever been there?
Yes.
So what?
It was. I was 25. That was. It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
He should have saved that answer for after he got drafted.
It's all a Stanley Kubrick sound set.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty wild though. If all of a sudden one day, all these whack jobs were right, and then we look like fools, and they will just dance on our graves.
I feel like we would have a lot of more problems if they were right, and I feel like I wouldn't care. I wouldn't feel embarrassed. I'd be like, you know what? That just means that we have a lot more things we need to talk about.
If they're right about aliens,
about me being wrong.
Yeah, if they're right about aliens, fuck yeah. Great. That means there's aliens. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if the whole alien thing, it seems like in the past 5 years, we've had a bunch of people, including the government, being like, yeah, no, there's aliens. Did you guys not know? Did we not talk about this? Yeah, there's aliens. But it's different if all of a sudden one lands in Times Square. Like, what if during this recording, your phone starts lighting up? It's like, do you see the news? See the news? What? And you're like, oh,
well,
shit.
Well, people will
apparently
think we're
in Miami
on it.
Recently, not too far back, there was a whole thing in like Miami with like a mall where like a bunch of people caught. Did you see that?
I did see that. I think that was like a camera trick sort of thing. But like, I'm talking about global lands in Times Square.
Like
and
Independence
like,
Day.
Yeah.
Like
Independence Day stuff. Or yeah. Not even like the day the earth stood still. Like
oh,
it
just
comes
one
down.
Yeah.
Klaatu Barada Nictu style where everyone's just gathering around and they come out and then just start annihilating people. I don't know what's going to happen. It's just a day's going to come.
Don't live in a major city. Okay. If Hollywood has told me anything, this shit only happens in a major city. And when it's not in a major city, they playfully hide in your closet with a trail of Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
If you've learned anything. Well, hopefully there will be no conspiracy theories about what happens in tonight's episode because we are now starting the second half of season two tonight. And we're starting it with a shebang. I have my notes here on what happened last week, and it is wild that we've spent, 2.5 episodes in Lesser Edale, and what a time we've had in this little village. I want to spend the entire rest of the campaign in this little town.
It's funny. This was a pit stop on the way somewhere else. And I feel like we've forgotten about the somewhere else at this point.
Oh, every year.
Oh, fuck somewhere else.
Done. Yeah. Why did we come to
We
England?
Were going to inspect a safe
a
installation.
Right. On Monday.
Yeah, you left London.
We went on the wrong day.
Yeah.
You kind of had three goals in mind. You were like, we could follow this lead up from Jackson Elias, that from the scoop, some sort of multiple mysterious deaths in the town of Lesser Edale. Then in Derby, there is this Henson Manufacturing. You found a receipt about a safe that was installed there, and you found this receipt in a secret room beneath the Pennew Foundation. And then also heading to the countryside here north of London, there is this Vaughn's sort of home. Eagle's Grange is in this area as well. So you've got three things you can do out here because you're really, you've got stuff to do back in the city, but you also like felt like it was time to stretch your wings a little bit and see what else you can discover. So you've come to Lesser Edale and you've started to investigate this. And as much as the people in town giving off the vibe that it's a case closed, there's this undercurrent that it's not a case closed. And now you've kind of cracked it wide open. We started last week at the Laughing Horse Inn. The previous episode, we saw Feyruz and Margot arguing. I took Margot and arguing and made Margot. They were not so much arguing. They were just having a heated discussion about the order, the secret society that they both belong to. It kind of been like this understated thing between them where they never really talked about it. Finally, it comes out and they realize they both belong to this same secret society. Carter noticed a man watching them. Carter pretended to act drunk, kind of got blocked on his way out, gets outside, and the guy is like way ahead of him, cuts into the woods. Carter follows along stealthily, sees the man get into a car and take off into the night. Carter records the license plate and, you know, remembers that it's different from the license plate of the car that Margot was able to spot outside of Empire Spices back in London. So you guys are being watched? Someone is being watched? Is it the same person? Are they different people? And if whoever it is, who are these people? We come back to the pub and we see Vaughn approach the sort of man of the pub right now, Lawrence Vane, the son of Lord Arthur Vane, the sort of ruler of the area. He's holding court here in the bar, charming all the regulars. You speak, and he invites you and the mystery squad up to Plum Castle for dinner the next night. You guys decide, rather than turning in, let's go shake down the vicar for some more information. So you walk over to the vicar's door, you go in there, you're like, hey, but now you're hiding stuff. You start rummaging through his papers. He's like, please, no. And, you know, it turns out he was hiding some stuff. You first question him about the order of the Derwent Valley Druid, the order of the Derwent Valley Order of the Golden Druid, something like that. And he's like, it's a historical society. It's no big deal. And it seems like he's telling the truth. Just had a really funky name. But then you look at the document that he's translating from Latin to English. Vaughn speaks a little, reads a little Latin, rolls an extreme success, and you read about a local legend of a large hound-like creature that wanders the area. The locals believe its howls foretell upcoming death. You see a passage relating to the trials of the witches of Blakewell in 1608, where a Lady Evangeline Vane, as a witness for the prosecution, gave testimony against two women accused of witchcraft who were found guilty and killed. But before being killed, one of the women, a young witch by the name of Annie Stafford, put the mark of the beast on Vane. Perhaps this is this curse that has befell them, because the vicar reveals that something is wrong with the daughter. Something is wrong with Eloise Vane. Lord Arthur and Lawrence ask the vicar for help, and he has begun researching into the history of the family, trying to discover what's going on, but he doesn't speak Latin, he doesn't read Latin, he's trying to translate these old documents. He agrees to let you in on the investigation. Come back tomorrow morning, and we'll dig into it. So you do return the next day, and it seems like he stayed up all night, and he found a journal of an older vicar, which mentioned similar events that previous Vane generations experience. It seems that some change happens to Vane women on their 21st birthday. It's unclear whether this is related to the moon or their age. Vaughn tries to really dig into his Latin knowledge a little bit more and fails a pushed roll. But Feyruz is able to kind of dig a little bit deeper with her understanding of cryptology and just general knowledge of languages, and you realize that this had to do with something much, much darker. That way, way back in the day, the Vanes worshipped some sort of charnel god, and this put some taint on their bloodline. They were into like cannibalism and really dark shit that added this taint that has flown
Stop.
Through the bloodline
Stop
of the veins.
Stop saying it.
It's a taint, man.
It's a taint, man.
Taint, man.
That's taint just what fault. It's called.
That's what it's called.
And side note, kind of glad we skipped dinner.
it's a big taint, and it appears to be not maybe werewolf related. You thought maybe the moon, werewolf. This looks like the taint of the ghoul. And worse yet, it seems like it's incurable. It seems like the only way to stop this affliction is by granting a ghoul a second death. This is not the news that the Vanes want to hear. The vicar is coming to grips with it as well. Agrees to go with you to Plum Castle to kind of break the news. You show up late for dinner because that was the result of the failed pushed roll. You kind of lost track and got so excited in the research that you show up late. Lord Arthur Vane very stodgily comes down the stairs, and you guys lay it out for them. The priest is backing you up. The vicar is backing you up. And basically, I think Lawrence is like, we should... We need to exhaust all options here. We need to do something. She is innocent. She has no idea this is happening. We've been drugging her, my father and I, and bringing her down to the basement and locking her up. The minute that we knew that this was going on, to stop any more deaths, she would never hurt a fly. Please, you've got to help us. Please, why don't you come down and take a look at her? And so he spirits you downstairs into the
wait, old... sorry, Troy. I hate to interrupt the recap. There was... I was going to ask this in a second, but it seems like chronologically it makes sense to do it now. We stopped at the library, right? And we found a book that had a similar symbol on it to some other thing that was just in there that they never knew, right?
Yes, he took you to the library so that you could continue your research. You found a journal from a Lord Edgar Vane, which contained a symbol written in what looks like to be blood that corroborates that the Vanes once practiced dark worship and praised a god that satiated their foul desires. They engaged in cannibalism, unspeakable acts with corpses, and more in the name of this god. And the blasphemous idol was known as Mordigani. And you think that no, that's not what it is. It's another god. I can't remember what you've.
I think it was Mordigian.
Mordigian. Okay,
Mordigian.
I knew that, but I didn't know if you learned that. But you learned that it was this other god, Mordigian.
But there, beyond that, there was nothing of use in that book.
No, right? that was okay. It. Just sort of just solidified confirming. This yeah. belief that. It wasn't a witch curse, although I'm sure that didn't help. we're already cursed, and you're going to give us the mark of the beast? Come on. You think they would cancel each other out? No, it was because they did these horrible things, and the god has infected their bloodline. Right. So,
okay, sorry. Keep going.
Lawrence Vane goes to take you into the old family dungeon so that you can examine her or even speak with her. They don't know if she's even transformed this evening. It used to be tied to the moon. Now it's happening more frequently. So just to be safe, they drug her every night and drag her down there and lock her up. You go downstairs to the dungeon. He brings you towards her cell, and she's gone. Let's do a very important luck roll.
God.
Ay, 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 ay.
My hands are Why already did so I use, sweaty.
I used almost all my luck last game.
Hey, use it or lose it. Right now you get a better chance of gaining some back.
Yeah.
Ooh, finally I failed my luck roll.
Hey, congrats.
We love to see it.
Ooh. I succeeded. Oh, shit. No, wait. I rolled sanity. Hold on, luck. Oh.
Roll over
which
it.
Which I yeah. failed.
Folks, you'll be happy to know I got one, count them, 1 point
yeah.
of luck.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
I got four back.
Juicy 9.
A juicy
I got 7.
9.
Hey, we all got luck. That's got to sit. That means something.
I got a whole 12 points of luck now.
You guys will live forever.
Ooh, damn.
I'm going to take you right back to this moment. I imagine Lawrence is like, no, no, no. No, this is impossible. My father and I carried her down here and locked her away. He's looking through all the other cages in the area. He's like, no, we always bring her to this one here. It doesn't make any sense. He jimmies the door. It's like the cage is still locked. She couldn't have just disappeared into thin air. All right, the four of you just search down here, and I'll search the rest of the castle here. And he just throws you like a thing of keys. He's like, this opens all of the cells. I just want to make sure she isn't upstairs. If you hear me yelling, come up. But whatever happens, you must keep her alive. If you find her, you must keep her alive, please. She does not know what she does. And he just rushes up the stairs to go back to like look around the house to see if she's at large, because it's unclear like if the servants even know what the extent of this is. He's rushing up there to check the house. If you hear his screams, you know to go up there. In the meantime,
that's all
you are left in an ancient dungeon.
So when we came down into the basement, was the door to the basement unlocked?
The door to the basement was locked.
In fact, he
grabbed a key off a little thing on the wall. I made a note of saying that. Unlocked the door and went down.
So it's a very small window so far that the beast could be upstairs. Yeah.
So immediately, I feel like Vaughn just wants to take a look around this cell and see how, if there's any sign of escape, and through what egress could possibly this Eloise could have gone through.
While
through a window,
you look,
through a crack on the floor, through the door.
I have my shotgun out, and I am keeping watch.
Right.
Okay. Shotgun.
Lights up a cigarette, takes out her gun. Well, he seemed rather disturbed at that news.
Connor's just like patting himself, like, fuck, what do I think I have this knife still. Shit.
Yes, and I think Vaughn is packing his .32 revolver.
Yeah, Carter just has a knife.
Great.
We really ought to go shopping before you just, these days.
I miss those machete days. Man, that was my jam. Fuck. All right, so the gate was locked. So the door to the cell was also locked.
The door to the cell was
not
locked.
Not like it was broken open Hulk style. Jeez.
Yeah, the bars look like...
locked.
The bars look like they've been scratched at. Certainly, like, they look a little bit bent out of shape. Maybe someone could have slipped through. It seems like, by all accounts, she's a slight woman. So maybe she woke up and got out. They are a little bent, but they're not, like, Hulk smash bent.
Right. Yeah.
Can we do a little spot hidden to see if we could rummage around and there's something amiss, a little secret passageway, perhaps, a little anything?
Yeah, let's. You open up the door. You go in there. You see this fresh straw on the ground.
Oh,
they care. Give me some spot hidden. So whoever's in there looking around.
Extreme success.
Ooh,
nice. Okay, I've got to put my dice down.
All right, so extreme success. You all go in there and you're kind of looking around, investigating.
I'm keeping watch.
You're keeping watch with your shotgun all around. It's dark down here, and there are other cells that, like, are bathed in shadow. You know, I'm sure you're taking inventory of the whole room, but right now you seem to be focused on this one cell. So Margo is just watching, listening for every little sound. You hear something go across the floor. Point your gun, to a mouse. It's just darkness and rows of empty cells. Veyruz starts looking around, and your eyes are drawn towards the back wall, and you are feeling around, looking for any sort of clue, and you find a rock that seems to be loose in the wall.
Is it, like, removable, or do I push? Like, can I just see, like, I push it in first to see if it pushes in.
You push it in first, and as you push it in, you hear this, like, and all of a sudden, a, like, little chunk of the wall on the southwestern portion starts to slide open.
Everyone?
Huh?
I believe this, you know, it's very strange to have a dungeon in which clearly there's a mode of escape.
Seems counterintuitive.
Well, they must not have known about it. This is crazy that they would, by chance, put her in this cell.
Correct. She found how long has this existed? Have they always put... I'm baffled. I have so many questions. But shall we?
This looks ancient. This mechanism, you hear it like whirring underneath the ground. It's like an ancient sort of mechanism. You would think it's not that strange for them to have like another way of perhaps getting out of the building if the castle was ever under attack. You start like spinning through your head of like why they would even have this and just shit luck for the veins, maybe.
Yes. Or perhaps secret passageways to fell altar rooms where... civilized eyes should not peep.
Has anyone...
go ahead.
Does anyone have hunting experience that she's getting at, you know... Is anyone able to track successfully?
No.
My tracking skills are kind of shite, but...
I did it once before in our adventures.
Are there any footprints on the ground? Any...
I will attempt it.
I'll attempt it too. You know, screw it. But
it's not,
you know, looking to see if there's any. Does this look like somebody had recently gone through? Mm-hmm. Or if there's any.
I rolled a 5 under 10.
That's amazing!
For tracking. Hey,
5 under 10, hard success.
Amazing.
Well, the good news is it looks like this sort of secret entrance or exit has not been used in a long time. So there's a thick layer of dust that now has two enormous footprints in the dust leading out through, looks like some sort of crypt up ahead.
Wait, so it hasn't been used in a while, but there are two big footprints in front of it going into it?
No, there are two footprints going out, like from the cell into this.
So it had been unused for quite some time until very recently, where there are footprints that we can see. Is that right?
Right. So it seems like, you know, whoever was in here found a way out.
Can I check the chains and see if they were the chains broken, like, or are they just unlocked?
Are the chains broken or unlocked? The chains are pulled off the wall, and the metal sort of cuffs have been shattered.
Okay, maybe so forcibly have, crushed.
Maybe not she
unlocked.
Could have escaped from the chains the whole time, but was trying to find another way out and didn't want to give up her spot. Like, maybe she can still reason when she's this way.
I
perhaps, or just by clawing at the wall. She could have simply by chance stumbled upon this curious stone that Miss Chablon found.
It's quite possible. I look again to the floor to check if there's one set of footprints or two.
Looks like one
set
of...
For that was when Mordigian carried you.
There's one one set of footprints leading out, and they are, I mean, it's twice the size of any human footprint.
My God. Do we pursue? This beast may be at large on the grounds. We could inform Lawrence that we found that his prison is in fact rather pregnable.
She could be anywhere.
I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to just regroup with everybody, get everybody together, strength in numbers and yada yada.
It wouldn't hurt to have him around simply because we're not sure his involvement in this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if he's with us, at least we have proof that of his involvement.
Now, we did do, I believe, we did some sort of psychology check on this man, right? That we crushed. Didn't we, like, get the sense
like
that he wasn't
fully
lying?
Telling us everything? Oh, no. That's right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, initially, I believe Vaughn got the sense
I think initially,
that, like, there was a little bit more than meets the eye. But in talking with the vicar, you realize that it's quite possible this is all because they were trying to find a cure. And so they weren't just openly discussing it with anyone. Now, he still gives you a vibe, but
I thought when we came to the castle, we were talking to them. I thought we did one, but like in the library or something.
Yeah,
but.
I think you did do a follow-up in the library when they came down the stairs, and it seemed like everything was on the up and up.
Right, okay.
They seem sincere at that point.
But wouldn't it be worth at least telling him for one, if he is so concerned about his daughter, he would want to go with us if we knew where she might have gone. If we don't trust him, this gives him plenty of opportunity to fuck off elsewhere, as it were, to do whatever it is if he had ulterior motives. So I think either way, perhaps we go grab him, take him along with us.
Yeah. Is there a way, Troy, is there a way to tell from this door that it can be opened, the secret door can be opened from the other side?
Is there a mechanism? There appears to be a mechanism on the other side as well, like a giant lever.
Hmm. And you mentioned something about a crypt. As we approached Plum Castle, we saw some outbuildings and stuff. Do we get the idea that you would emerge from perhaps a sepulcher?
Oh, he did say there was a
Yeah,
yeah,
you,
outside.
When you came up on the castle, you did see some outbuildings. If you try to orient yourself to where you are, you're a little turned around, but it does make sense that this may you may be underneath where some of those outbuildings were. And yeah, you
I mean,
do
I
see...
think he literally said there was a crypt, right? He literally yes. he said there was something like there was a cemetery on the grounds or there was something we could examine.
Yeah. He did make mention and said that he would take us there.
Either way, we should at least bring to the attention of Mr. Lawrence Vane the laxity of his security. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, and this isn't cowardice, by the way. I want to point that out to everybody here. This is not us being scared to go down into a deep, dark crypt tunnel. This is us being responsible adults.
No.
And wanting
absolutely
to...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, no, no. Just takes a flask
yes,
out.
Yes, yes, quite.
I'm scared.
Yes, and I'm... Well, there's no shame in admitting that, sir. So, shall we? And shall we retrace our steps back
yeah,
up into the main...
You don't even get halfway up the steps towards... when Lawrence Vane comes rushing down. It's like, I haven't seen her anywhere. No one has seen her, and everything seems to be all right upstairs. Have you learned anything? Have you seen her? Have you heard her?
Well, we haven't heard...
We've learned a great deal, Mr. Vane.
Yes, unfortunately, we didn't hear your daughter herself, but we do suspect where she has exited from.
Show me.
If you would care to follow us.
Yes, please, show me. Take him downstairs.
Take him down.
And, yes, we'll hustle him back.
And he is just...
And Lawrence is the brother,
Lawrence
right?
Is the brother,
Lawrence is the
yeah.
brother, that's his sister.
Okay, that's who's with us.
Yeah, his jaw drops when he sees the door in the back. He's like, what? What? What is this? Where does this lead?
Seems
what
to
it is.
Lead to the sepulchre out of, just out on the grounds. You had no idea that you were leaving her in a prison room with such an easy means of escape.
Oh, no, of course not. We originally had her in her bedroom until she broke out of there. We thought she would be safe down here when we picked the one room that seems to lead elsewhere. Have you explored in there yet?
Oh, no.
Well,
we
I wanted to, but everyone pulled me back.
Not for lack of bravery.
We need to know where it leads. If she has a way out, she could be out there harming people again. Last time she got out, luckily she only killed an animal. But every other time she attacked people, we need to approach with caution, but with haste.
Well, yes, I would say time
yes,
is of the essence
yes, I suppose
here.
So. Well, do you happen to have any long guns, Mr. Vane?
Guns. We shouldn't need any guns. No, we can't kill her. We can't harm her. Like I said, she doesn't know what she's doing. If you were to shoot her, you have the chance of killing her. We can't raise the dead.
Listen, man.
Actually, as Bruce thinks about her spell that she has. No. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, Margo's just like holding her shotgun.
I understand.
I'm just holding him by the shoulder. I'm just like, well, how do you propose that we subdue such a beast that could shatter these?
Like, lifting up the steel manacles. Force must enter in, Mr. Vane. I think it may be time to grapple with the thought that your sister may be no longer herself entirely.
I understand. Well, violence of any sort must be a last resort. I'll go first.
I love
perhaps,
it.
Perhaps there is some vestige of her that will see me and know I
yes,
should not.
Yes.
I love the
if,
idea.
If there
yes.
is any part of her that still clings to her life uncorrupted by this beast, then you are the one most equipped through consanguinity of blood to speak to what remains of Eloise within her.
If she goes to attack you, though, I will pull the trigger.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that. Let's just proceed with caution. Do you even hear anything up ahead?
We do.
Listen.
Listen. Fail. Where is my... Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, I got a great feeling about this.
Extreme success. I rolled a 4 under 65.
Wow. Nice.
I got
extreme
a hard.
Success.
Nice. I did not get a hard. I got a regular.
Regular success. All right, those of you who failed or regular success, you don't hear anything. With your extreme success, Feyruz, the only thing you do hear is, like, wind. Which wouldn't make sense because, like, if this is some sort of secret area, it would be closed off. But you hear, like in the distance, wind from outside. Let's proceed with caution. I need to let my father know, but for the time being, let's just see.
I think we may be too late if we hear wind. It must be the door on the other end is open.
We don't know anything yet.
Well, duh.
Okay, all right, Marco, just kind of steady on himself. He's distraught
right now, but...
I'm sorry, I yelled. That's my sister. Flesh and blood.
Yes, Mr. Vane, no doubt, but it did... Fräulein Sauer, though her harsh, Teutonic lack of tact is perhaps leaves something to social graces, speaks true. She may be on the loose.
Right,
so haste, it seems, is of the essence.
Keep your weapons down. Let's go. And he walks into this dark, like, crypt. And he's like, hold on, I need a torch. And he runs back in the other room and grabs, like, a torch from a sconce on the wall. He's like, I can't see anything down here, and I didn't bring a flashlight. All right, let's go. And it's like a very, you know, a relatively narrow sort of passageway. And he's up front with the torch, and it's like making all these dancing shadows of the five of you on the wall. And you walk down. That sound of the wind, now you all start to hear it, but it's still very, very distant. And eventually it opens into a chamber. And there seems to be one exit from this chamber, but the exit doesn't interest you. What interests you is the statue that you see, and a circle on the floor with, like, it's like a circle with all these lines etched in it, some sort of symbolic situation on the floor, all in front of this statue of... It looks like it has the body of an octopus, like tentacles going in every direction, but it's got that lamprey-like mouth on the underside, which just sort of reaches out with teeth. And it's, you know, all of the tentacles, they're not like, it's not like artistic, like they're all going out in a straight direction, so it almost looks like an upside-down star. Everybody give me a sanity roll.
Yeah.
Including... Lawrence Vane.
My God, it's just as I thought. The altar of Mordicchian. Oh, you wouldn't believe who failed.
No. Any fails besides Vonnie?
No.
Okay, Vaughn, give me 1d4 sanity loss.
Goo.
You got it. You got it. You got it.
Yep. Right.
How much is can you lose before you become temporarily insane?
Six, I think.
Five.
It's different for everybody. Like, if when you lose five and one pop,
right,
that's when you have to roll to see if you fully understand it. But it's a percentage
indefinitely
in a day, that, where things get bad. As Michael behind the scenes just pointed out, eight for Vaughn. Eight is your breaking point for Vaughn today.
All right. So I'm halfway there.
Did you lose four?
Yep.
No!
Wait, you said a D4. I'm sorry.
D4.
Okay. Not four. Just a second.
D4. Let me see. I was going to say.
Hold, please. Hold, please.
No!
Okay, people are waiting to process your call.
No!
I did roll a four.
No. All right, Vaughn, how does this manifest? I'm surprised that these statues still shake you so.
Yes. I avoided looking at the terrible artwork, the primary painting in the studio of Shipley. But now I am beholding, as it were, an artwork from another world. And I even suspected this. We've learned ever since the name of this chthonic deity came into my mind from looking over the Latin texts. It's sort of been gnawing at me. And now to behold it in all its horror just makes me... It's not so much the statue itself. It's more that I... In a flash, my imagination conjures up an image of what worship in front of this thing must have consisted of. And I am, my mind is suddenly processing an image of some sort of bloody and perverse cannibalistic orgy. And I'm reeling against the wall.
Did you see the blood orgy when you looked into the to the mask?
I think that was just you.
That was just you. Yeah,
sure you talked about it.
But a similar image is being conjured here.
Yeah, you look on the floor. You still see blood stains everywhere. Ancient blood stains, like an oil stain in the basement that have it's never gone away. Bones everywhere. Horrible, unspeakable acts must have taken place here in front of this tentacled worm.
Yeah, just there's an image in my mind of like some of Lawrence Vane, some old ancestor of his, like turning towards me with a face like covered in blood, bits of scraps of flesh on its teeth, and with a look on its face not of horror but of sublime and horrific pleasure.
Won't you join in, old boy? Your turn.
And as Feyruz tends, like, has grown accustomed to a certain look in Vaughn's eyes along our time spent together, without saying anything, she'll slowly walk over and with her free hand go and, like, take Vaughn's hand in hers and just kind of squeeze his hand a little to try to bring him back.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Brown.
What is this place? What is this place?
Have we learned.
Oh yes, we've learned some things, not everything, but some things with the vicar, Mr. Vane. Can it be that you're truly entirely unaware of the history of your family, of their rather unorthodox practices of worship?
I know nothing of the sort. I don't. Were they into this? Were they worshipping this creature?
Why in God's name would they build such an effigy?
This has been sitting under Plum Castle all this time.
Yes, not only under your castle, grabbing him by the collar, not only under the castle, but in your very blood vein, in your sister's blood. It's not your sister anymore. It's not your sister anymore at heart. It's that. She's
pointing at the... As you're freaking out, Margot's like by Carter, has her gun up and like kind of steps behind him for like protection, being like, she remembers when this happened in the lizard house and you started grabbing her because you went like definitely insane. So she's like, keep him away from me. He's going to lose it again.
It's all right. He's gonna figure it out. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
And I'm not insane. I think at that point I just kind of let go.
Oh, you were dominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You were dominated. But you see that look in his eyes.
He's done this a few times.
This is par for the course. But I think Vaughn hasn't had this break. I think he'll kind of collect himself and almost see how scared you are. Just like,
it's quite all right, Sarah. Quite all right. Forgive me. Just a little shock. One couldn't help but be shocked when beholding such a damnable artifact.
We might see worse, so...
Yeah, he's good. You're good, right, Vaughn? You're good.
Yes, yes.
We're together, right. Man.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so there's only one exit out of here. There's nothing else besides this statue.
Yeah, there's one exit, and it is... it is open, but you can see that, like, it was another passageway that was, hidden, you know? And there's a lever on the wall similar to
the one. Oh, that was another hidden one.
Yeah,
okay.
Another lever on the wall.
Can Feyruz just, while we're in this room, just see if there's something we didn't initially pick up from the, obviously, being overwhelmed at the site?
Yeah.
There's something to be gained in a closer look at this.
Yeah, give me a little spot hit.
Oof. Regular success.
Over by where that lever is, you see a piece of ripped clothing, like it was like hanging from the lever. It's very, very small, but it's like a white, maybe a piece of a dress or a shirt.
Feyruz will slowly walk over to it and gently touch it, see if there's any, like, see, like, what kind of clothing it was, if there's any blood on it, if it smells at all. Take a sniff.
You smell, it does have a weird bestial musk to it. It's very powerful on such a tiny little scrap. It looks like it might be a part of a shirt or like bedclothes, like a nightgown.
She'll pull it over to her brother. She's heard from her dressing gown.
And he just takes it from you. He says, yes. Yes, this is what she was sleeping in. Sometimes, the few times that I found her, her clothes were shredded. I don't know if it's a part of what she undergoes or if she tore at them, but this means she must be that way. I have no idea even where we are. Somewhere on the grounds. Let's move forward and see what we see. This is all too much for me to take right now. God worships and whatnot, but right now I just need to find my sister.
Yes.
Let's go. And he walks towards that opening and he kind of peers through and he says, it's the mausoleum. This is... And he just walks ahead of you into this. He's like, this is the Vayne mausoleum. This is one of the buildings outside of the castle. This has been in the family for centuries. My mother is buried here. This infernal place was under our noses the whole time. I had no idea that there was
Lawrence, chill out. Come back here, man. Don't get ahead of us.
Yes. Look, the door leading out is open.
Please keep it down.
She must have escaped.
Vaughn will follow. He's going into the crypt and...
Eloise! No. Eloise!
Shut up!
Sorry. I can't find her.
How did your mother pass?
She fell down the stairs. And I don't know.
Oh, terribly sorry, old man.
Some bad sneeze.
I think we had mentioned before that she died in childbirth.
Childbirth. Oh, right. Yeah, Eloise.
Giving birth to Eloise.
Right. Right. Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yes, we buried her here, and many of my ancestors were buried here. So these people from our bloodline must have used this secret area as a place of worship, hidden directly next to the interment of their people.
Most profane.
I can't take this all in. But she's out there now. Look,
and you
see
that,
like, the stairs leading up and out of the mausoleum is just the door to the mausoleum is wide open to the night.
Lawrence, where is your dad and the vicar right now? Are they still in the house?
They're drinking scotch upstairs.
The hell?
The vicar is trying to calm my father down. I told him that Eloise, I should go to him. But time is of the essence. What should I do? And he doesn't. He like. Should I go to my father? Should we go chase after her? Time is of the essence. The entire town is at risk.
Listen, I don't think it would be very good if he was around to. And I say this as an aside, to one, either give our location away and put us in danger, or two, if it comes to the moment that we must protect ourselves. I don't think he would take that very well at all.
Yeah, but he might be the one person that can get through to her. Like, her seeing a familiar face, seeing her brother's face, might be the only thing that saves everybody.
All right, well, we might have to restrain two people tonight.
Is there some sort of alert system you can let go for the town?
No, we don't
carrier pigeon?
No, we don't want to. We can't let them know. We can't let them know what's going on. We just need to go and find her and maybe redirect her away into the woods. She'll find her way home. This has happened before. Yes, when she was the last time she got out. What if I went up and got my father and we
we drove into town and we meet you there and reconvene and find out what you know. I worry that everyone is in danger. Everyone is in danger. We don't want to make everyone nervous and let them know that this beast is real and is out there.
Doesn't seem like he's trying to protect
himself. Hit me with a shotgun.
What would lure her out? Do you think?
She's probably hunting. I don't know. Right now, every minute we spend here, she is out there looking for prey.
So we're up and outside, and there's nothing. Like we're in the graveyard, the cemetery.
You're still in this mausoleum, which has extends off into several areas. But you see the door wide open, so there's stairs leading up.
Yeah, let's get outside and at least see if there's any sense of where she went, or if she's just fucking standing right there.
All right, so it's amazing. Yeah. You walk up the stairs, and you just see the moon. It's not a full moon. That's not until a week from Tuesday. You see Plum Castle, sort of to your right, and you realize that, yes, this was the mausoleum you saw when you first walked up to Plum Castle, one of the outbuildings. And everything that lays before it is just, you see the city down below. Some lights on in some of the buildings. If you look closely, you think you can pick out the Laughing Horse. And then on the other side, the giant hill of Mom Tor. But you just look, she could be anywhere. But it is a very clear, direct line from Plum Castle straight to the lights of the town.
Can I do a track roll? It sucks. My stat's not great, but can I try that to see where
she's headed? For sure. It's dark out. It's going to be a tough roll, but you can always try it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough roll either way, even if it was broad daylight. Yeah,
tracking at night.
I failed.
Yeah,
looking. I also tracked. I'm sorry I didn't declare this, but this is Vaughn is like, what the hell is going on? And I did succeed, just barely. 7/10.
Wow. All right.
That's amazing.
You see, the footprints in the previous room and the sort of shrine, those were very clear because that room had not been used in a long time. That's very clear to you. Very thick dust, big giant footprints. You come into the mausoleum, also hasn't been used in a while, but it gets a little more foot traffic than the place that hasn't been used, presumably in hundreds of years. So you're looking around, you see tracks leading up and out. They go into the dirt and they are pointed in the direction of the town.
Look there.
All right. We don't have any time to go back to the house. I say we follow these things.
Vane, now is not the time for retreat. Now is the time, though, everything inside you is begging for survival, for the instinct to preserve yourself. Now is the time to focus on the common good and go over the top, as it were. Come.
You want me to come with you? What about my father? I could tell my father. I could run back there, grab my father and the vicar, and meet you. No,
and tell him what he will do. What?
Yeah, no.
You're not going to alert the town. You just want to tell your dad.
He should know. But
they will be fine. She did not go in that direction.
If she goes down there and somebody sees her with a gun, they're going to shoot at her. Our best chance is to get down there now. And try to prevent that.
All right, let's go. Let's make haste. And you begin. Are you running? Or are you just
run, yeah.
Lightly jogging.
Yeah. Light jog.
Yeah, I think hurry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you start hoofing it to the town.
Oh my God.
It's downhill, which is nice. It was a little
okay.
Vaughn is a three pack a day smoker, so it's like.
Okay. All right, so you get hoofing it downhill towards the town. I can't remember. I feel like it was like a mile and a half. So it's a little bit of a jog, and you're trying to preserve your strength at the same time. You don't want to get winded in case you come face to face with this thing. How cautious are you being in terms of being seen worried? You know what I mean? Like a bunch of strangers coming into town with Lawrence Vane looking crazy. Are you concerned about that, or is your concern?
No, because I think for Pharaohs personally, if people are concerned, they're just going to go inside their houses, which is what we want. So the more concerned look they see on our faces, for her, the better.
But if we want to keep them as an ally, if we keep them in good graces with their town, maybe as we approach, we can be a bit more reserved with our hustle.
Well, we don't have to say we're looking for her. We can say we're looking for the beast or whatever.
We don't have to say anything. We can just
tell Lawrence, like, hey, I know this is rough right now, but can you please just try to put on a face for the townspeople if we run into anyone?
All right, so you start going down there. You're making good time. You're making speed. The city is, like, coming towards you. The city, the village. Lights on. Now you know there's the Laughing Horse. There's Constable Tumwell's house. There's the church. There's Harold Short's house. There's the houses of the people whose family members were victimized by this beast. As you get to, like, the edge of town, you hear a, like, moaning sound. And you see, like, in a field, just barely outside of town, a figure, large figure, just like, and it's, you know, the way the moonlight is, you can't quite make it out. It's this large shadowy figure, like.
Do you think it's her still transforming, or? Someone drunk. I can't tell.
How far away are we from the figure?
I'd say you're about 300 feet away when you first hear it, and then you hear it first, and then you try to follow
the sound. I mean, is it
the
kind of sound that could be misconstrued as howling? Like what a lot of people have heard?
It's possible, yeah. There is a howl to it. It sounds pained.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vons, that's either her changing, like, that's, or
that might be it.
Perhaps a victim.
Yeah.
Vaughn will kind of, like, try to military style, like, hustle up a little bit, drop, hustle up a little bit, drop, and maybe, like, scoot behind whatever limited
Vaughn,
cover provided by grass and fence posts and stuff.
Vaughn, tell us what to do, man. You're going to some flashback shit. What do we do? We drop down? We hide? What?
For God's sake, stay down until he has to. Okay.
Do we see anywhere we can maybe lure it, if it's her?
I guess Vaughn is just trying to close some distance between us and this figure to get a better look at it without drawing its attention yet.
Closing. All right, give me a stealth roll just to see see what we see.
All right, that's very fair. Stealth, and not my forte. Wouldn't you know it, I failed.
You know what, though? I meant to say this before you roll. Give yourself a bonus for stealth at night. You know,
okay.
It's harder to see, so bonus. Right. Reroll your tens die.
Let's see. Even worse.
Even worse, okay. All right, here's what happens. You start to walk towards this figure, try to get a sense, and as you get close, the voice turns on you.
Lydia! Lydia! Is that you? Lydia! It's time to come home, Lydia.
Oh, dear.
Is that you? Come. Come to me, Lydia. I've missed you so.
And he walks towards you, and it's John Parkins, Lydia's father.
He does this.
Lydia, wait a minute. You're not Lydia. Who are you? What have you done to my daughter?
Snap out of it, Parkins.
She's out here somewhere. She's out here.
Please go back inside. It's late at night.
Have you seen her? Have you seen her?
Parkins, you're drunk with grief and with John Barleycorn. Back to your house, man.
It's an amazing lie.
She's out here somewhere.
And he looks at Lawrence Vane. He's like,
you son of a bitch, the Tucker.
And he just fucking wallops Vane and hits him in the chin, and Vane drops to the ground.
Can I try to intercept that blow before it lands?
You can.
Not me.
It happens.
Not by jumping in front of him, but by taking him out first.
The intention is to just fucking wall. And you know, if he hits him, he's going to drop like a pound of bricks. So, you know, give me a brawl roll here. Obviously, you're not trying to punch him. We can work through what the maneuver is. But you're trying to, like, stop. It's a fighting maneuver.
Like a grapple?
Brawl, right. Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
No!
Fun! No.
Wait, I gotta open the.
It's a 99 versus 55.
All right, you're lucky, man. Because you have over 50. It's not a critical
failure.
It's not
failure, a fumble.
Yeah, it's
not
a failure.
So you, I mean, as intended, you just like you're not quick enough, and he boom hits him on the chin, and Vane just drops.
He goes, you're the one that did it. You took her away from me, and you're hiding her in your castle. Lydia, he screams up towards the castle. Lydia, I'm coming to get you.
Shut up. Shut up. Please shut up. What do we do? Listen.
Punch him in the face. He punched Lawrence in the face. Punch him in the face. Make him shut up.
Oh, what happened? Why did he... Oh,
and Vane's got like blood dripping out of the front of his mouth, like he's lost a tooth. Guy just cold cocked him, and it's just very, very hectic. And Vane is standing up, and the guy's trying to get to Vane. I imagine you guys are interfering so he doesn't do it. He's starting to run, and all of a sudden, everybody, give me a spot hidden.
Uh-huh.
Oh God! Oh God! Failed.
Hard success.
Awesome.
Vonular.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Vaughn.
Come back to us.
Is gone.
Wait, Vaughn
has
left
the encounter. Vonular, like ambulance.
My Vaughn is gone. I'm so sorry. Yeah, my Wi-Fi went out for just a second. Seems to be back. Smooth again.
At a suspensefully appropriate time.
Yes.
Hey.
What were the results of your spot hit?
Mine?
Yes. Yeah. Spot hit.
Great. Let's see. Did.
Ooh.
An extreme success.
Ooh,
not so good at deflecting
extreme.
Punches. Very good at looking.
And hard. Or listening, as it were. In the hecticness of this moment, he lays Lawrence Vane out. He's trying to go after Vane, yelling up to the castle, making a big scene here in the night. You see other lights start to go on in the buildings on the outskirts of town, but with an extreme success. And then you'll hear this seconds later, Feyruz, with a hard success in the far, far distance on the other end of town, perhaps, you hear a blood-curdling scream. And we'll be back right after this break.
Oh my God.
We're back, and I neglected to mention at the beginning of the episode, I've updated our VTT cast of characters here. So now you can see Lord Arthur Vane and Lawrence Vane and Vicar Jeremy Stratton. This is a good priest. He's a godly man. As well as Herbert Tumwell, the constable. Or Hubert, excuse me. Hubert Tumwell. I'll... see if I can show you those pictures.
Oh, anyways, Tumwell's got the hat on.
Tumwell's got the whole hat. Yep. Doesn't he seem like a guy that has the only phone in town?
Mm-hmm.
So they're all updated, along with Abdul Nawisha, the owner of the Blue Pyramid Club, who you guys, I don't know if you spoke with him or you saw him briefly, but we're in the moment. I always forget, like, oh, here's a really cool picture of them.
Nice.
But, yeah, I've been trying to keep up with that, at least between sessions, revealing stuff on there, and... very interesting how much has been revealed already this season and how much is left to go. You guys are... it's the middle of the night. It's the moon is the only light up above, and you are caught betwixt the village of Lesser Edale and Plum Castle, where Eloise Vane, who is cursed by some taint in her bloodline that comes from worshipping a god of death, an elder mythos god of death and cannibalism. She has been cursed, like so many Vanes before her, to have this taint of the ghoul, perhaps. She is transformed in some way, and she has been let loose on the countryside. The first time this happened, someone died. The next time, someone died. I think it was Mr. Osgood the first night, the guy who left behind a wife and two daughters. And the second night, it was Lydia Parkins, leaving behind only her father, who you have just run into, roaming around just outside of town, looking for his dead daughter, waiting for her to come home, obviously drunk. You heard a rumor that this is what he tends to do because he is so unfathomably sad. He gets drunk and he wanders, waiting for her. He sees Lawrence Vane, who he already suspects had something to do with it because his neighbor saw Lawrence Vane on that night. You now know from talking to Lawrence Vane that Lawrence was out there looking for his sister, and that's why he looked disheveled, because he was looking for Eloise when the neighbor saw this. But John Parkins doesn't know that, lays him out, and starts yelling to the sky she must be in Plum Castle, I'm gonna go get her. All this is going on, and you hear a scream in the distance. This is a scene, though. You've got a situation you're dealing with here. What do you do? Vane is not unconscious. He just got, like, dropped.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy is trying to get on him. A couple of you are holding him back. There's a lot of yelling. Lights coming on in some of the buildings. You almost feel like the jig is up here. What do you do?
I think Carter starts screaming at Parkins, who's I'm still trying to, like, get at Vane or whatever. And he's like, you hear that, Parkins? You hear that scream? It's the beast! It's out! We're tracking the beast right now!
The beast? What beast? What beast are you talking about?
The thing that killed your daughter is out there, and I think someone just saw it.
And when you say that, he, like, it's not like he sobers up, but it dawns on him what he knows when he's not drunk, and what he knows even at the height of his stupor, that she was killed.
He's like,
Please go inside.
No, they're fuck there. That. Fuck that. Come they're with there. Us right now. Come get vengeance for your daughter. Let's go.
He can barely walk. He just kind of like crumbles.
Yes. You're no good to us, Parkins. Good Lord, go back inside.
Go home, Parkins. You're drunk.
We are wasting time with him.
His daughter was torn apart 3 months ago.
Get it together, old man.
That's a quarter of a year.
Like, you guys aren't giving this guy enough grace. Yeah,
Vaughn will give him his arm and try to lift him up and walk him back towards the town. Like,
the monsters of the night have no time for empathy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vane.
All right, whatever. Fucking leave him. We gotta go. Somebody just screamed.
I'm just going to start running at this point.
Yeah,
she's just going to shepherd him to his house, push him through his fence.
So Troy, you're saying this is on the other side of town, so we got to run through the town?
Yeah, you're basically running through. The most direct route takes you right through the town.
I guess I'm running through town with my shotgun out.
Guess you're running through town with a loaded shotgun.
Okay,
I'm not putting it away.
So Carter's got an idea. You said there's a veterinary place?
There's a veterinary hospital.
Is there a way? Would the vet have animals, like, there? Like, being kept there? Like, either in a pen in the back or something? I want to get bait.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I thought we were going for tranquilizers.
Let's do that, too.
Poor pets as bait. Right.
All right, so you want to break into the vet and just start grabbing, like, sick animals and drugs?
Yeah, I want to do the Pee.
Tranquilizers.
Yeah, the Pee Wee Herman. The Pee Wee Herman, right. Like running out of the flaming. He's like, Feyruz, that's a great idea about the tranks. You should do that. I'm gonna see if I can get like a fucking sheep.
All right, so you just elbow through the window of the vet. I'm not even going to have you roll. I want to keep the tension moving here. You break into this vet hospital pretty easily. You hear animals in the back. There's drugs everywhere. I mean, how quickly can one of you identify what may be some sort of sedative, let alone one powerful enough for whatever this Eloise has turned into?
I don't think Margo has spot hits.
What is it? Is it medicine or?
Please no.
Yeah, I mean, this is where you can kind of, tell me what you want to roll and see if it makes sense.
Could you maybe roll a first aid and see if that would imply that you know enough about the reading the labels on various bottles of salves, ointments, and powders?
I think first aid could work. I mean, I'm going to be straight with you. It's a tough check for you to just know in, if one of you was a doctor.
Here's my argument. Would, I mean, here's my argument for Carter. Carter spent many years with an infirm old person.
It's true.
Who he was married to, who had all manner of medications that she was on.
That's true. That's true. She may have had some sedatives. All right, so give me a first aid,
Carter. All right.
Extreme success.
Also extreme. Oh, no. Fuck. It's an 8 under 38. It's pretty hard, though.
That's pretty hard. All right. So Feyruz gets an I can't believe this. Feyruz gets an extreme success, and Carter gets a hard success. My God. All right. So you're rummaging around, trying to think in the fiction of this game, just knocking shit all over the place. And Lawrence is like, what are you doing? Why are we here? Someone is screaming. She must be there. We should go.
It's either we shoot her with a tranquilizer dart or we shoot her with a shotgun.
Which would you prefer?
I don't know that these would be darts. We're probably looking at like just a bottle full of powder.
Yeah. it's probably a syringe that we'd have to.
Or syringes.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbiturates. So you're looking for barbiturates. I'm Googling, like, what sort of sedatives were used in 1920s?
Animal tranquilizer.
Barbiturates
whatever.
Were first developed in 1864 and became a popular sleeping pill.
Tell me more.
So they were practiced in between the 1920s and the mid 50s. Barbiturates were practically the only drugs used as sedatives and hypnotics. So it's very possible. It makes sense that if they had developed these for humans, that they probably would have started to use the same things for animals as well. So I'm going to say that you're able to find some liquid and some syringes. This is a wild gambit. I don't want to make it seem like got this. Looks like a case closed. But I will say you do have some sedatives. You do have some syringes.
Right.
And there is... give me a luck roll.
For an animal?
To see if there's a sheep. Because that's what you were hoping for.
Failure.
Some sort of
it was your idea. Let's see if there's a sheep there.
Oh, I gotta roll. So now I gotta roll under the luck, right?
Roll
under
for
the
sheep.
Luck. Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna do a group luck roll because it was your crazy idea.
No, there's no sheep.
All right.
It was a 50-50.
There is a miniature schnauzer.
It might do. I'm gonna
and
grab
it. Just looks up at you with these imploring eyes.
Come with me, buddy. You're gonna be fine.
A little bandage around its.
Someone in chat being like, miniature schnauzers did not exist.
Oh, God.
They were not bred until 1938.
They weren't bred until it's the 1920s equivalent of a miniature schnauzer. And it's got a little bandage on its leg, and it just looks at you all. Please don't use me.
I'm going to grab him.
Bait. All right, so you just rip open the cage and grab the miniature schnauzer.
He might not die. Come on. And then a shark. Not running.
Oh my God.
All right. So you just, I really wanted to see the image of you running across town with a sheep under your arm. But now you've got a little bandaged dog and some barbiturates.
Adorable.
And you run in the direction of the scream.
Return to your homes. Nothing to see here.
Someone's like, that's my dog.
You see, at the edge of town, like sort of the opposite edge. You're as far opposite as Plum Castle. There is a large farm. Why do you know this farm? Because it is the farm where the woman was walking with her two daughters. Mrs. Osgood, the widow, whose husband was taken by Eloise, killed. And she is standing outside of her home on this pretty large farmland. Compared to the other houses, it's one of the biggest, like, plots of land. And she's just screaming at the top of her lungs. I don't want to do it justice role-playing-wise because it would be too loud, but she's saying, help! Help! It took them!
My God, the children!
Oh, God.
Help! Help! It took them!
Which way did they go?
Yeah, after hearing that, I turn on the gas and, try to pelt it right up to this woman. Yes, where?
Which way? A creature twice as tall as a man and grabbed both my little girls and ran off to the south with them. And she points in the direction of Mom Tor. You look up this hill and you see the ruins atop the hill illuminated by the moonlight. She's like, she just grabs you, Vaughn, by your shirt imploringly. She's very weak. She's not hurting you at all. And she's like, please, why has God chosen to torment me so? To test me so? Why? And she just crumbles at your feet. My girls! My girls!
We have tried in this vale of tears through suffering, but Miss Osgood, the Lord looks with compassion towards your suffering and also provides instruments of justice. And, and it starts going, just like runs off towards Montour.
Is there Troy? Oh, is there anybody
you
else?
Tranquilize her.
Here,
no.
Oh, and hold this dog.
Yeah, I just give her the dog. Maybe this will make up
no,
for
it's
your
a therapy
children.
Animal.
There,
she's
there.
Like, Rufus? That's my schnauzer.
We need him for a second. Listen.
No.
Is there anybody else that's around? Have people started sticking their heads out of the doors? And,
as
like,
you're running through town with a shotgun and a dog, there are people like starting to come out. Like, what is all the commotion? And they're all standing in the street now. And of course, as Mrs. Osgood has been screaming, they're all looking in this direction. Some of them are starting to crowd around. And Lawrence is no longer the life of the party, able to be put on a face and be like, everything's all right, everyone. He is shook. He's nursing a broken chin. And they're starting to come over. It's becoming a bit of a scene.
Okay.
What's going on? What's going on?
Like, Carter's just like, get the constable. Where's the constable?
And you see Constable Tumwell, and he's in, like, night clothes. He's wearing, like, a long, like, Wee Willy Winky nightgown with a little cap. And he's like, what? What is going on here?
It's the beast. He took this chick's kids. We got to get up to the is it Mom Tor. Let's
what
go.
What are you talking about? He took this chick's kids, the beast, I took care of the beast.
We don't have time to argue with you. You never took care of the beast. The beast is back, and we must go.
I don't have any of my...
back in your houses!
All right, I'll keep the peace here, and go, just go, I'll keep the peace. Nothing to see here, people, nothing to see.
And you just start running up the hill?
I guess yes. So, if he's not
running up the hill. Pray to your gods!
Yeah.
Pray to your gods!
And Vaughn, I think, is actually pleased with this because he does not want a mob to totally...
Yeah.
I just wanted the constable's gun.
Yeah, I mean, if you tell him, like, come get us, because he's wearing his just bedclothes, he doesn't have a gun, you can tell him that, and he'll go and get his gun, and meet up
with him. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. The beast is up at Montour. This is your chance for redemption, and we start going.
All right, let me calm them down and grab my weapons, and I'll meet you. Go!
The more we can bring in innocent...
people,
I guess not innocent in the case of New York.
Like,
but just law enforcement to fucking do our dirty work is the
cannon fodder.
Yep.
All right, so...
dog in hand.
You begin climbing this hill with all haste. It is very, very steep. Mom Tor. This is an actual historical site. A couple weeks ago, I saw in the comments people being like, I've been to Mom Tor. It is real. Mom Tor stands for Mother Hill. It's considered to be one of the earliest hill forts in Britain. It is 1,700 feet above sea level. So it is a climb to get to the top. You get there and you see the first like piece of ruin you see is like a gateway. All that remains of a gateway into the fort, the rest of the fort, completely hollowed out, gone. All that stands is a gateway. You can pass through this gateway into just ruins. You can only think like what this building may have looked like at one time. And there's just this labyrinthine set of half-crumbled walls ahead of you. Moonlight. It's like the Minotaur's maze. You listen for sounds of the girls.
Yes.
Give me a spot hidden.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Ooh. Hard success. 30 under 69.
Yes.
Extreme success. 3 under 80.
Wow. Regular success. Nice. Seems kind of... pedestrian.
Pretty,
yeah.
Pretty
Carter
like
failed. Carter failed.
And Carter failed.
Just listening to the dog.
Nora, you've been crushing these extremes on World 20 loves you. All right, so Same thing as I said last time. Like, you're going to hear this, Margo, just seconds after Feyruz hears it. You listen for the sounds of anything, heavy breathing, little girls yelling, anything. You don't hear any of that. However, you do hear sound of someone struggling. Like, sound like that coming from, like, down on the other side of the hill. Like, straight through the ruins and down. It's like echoing up and into the valley below.
Is Lawrence... Lawrence is with us? He
yes.
followed us, right?
He's like, okay. What do you hear? What do you hear?
Keep it down. You need to follow the noise, but you need to be quiet and don't freak out whatever you see.
Yeah, can we use that to kind of navigate?
Totally.
Or roll navigate for
you don't even need to. With an extreme success, you can just keep following in that sound, which is in persistent. That allows you to echolocate it and continue. You go through these ruins. You don't get lost in the ruins, walking through history, and you get to the other side of the hill, and the sound is getting louder and louder and louder. And then you see an entrance, like a wooden hole, kind of near the mountain, almost going into the mountain, into the ground, like a mine shaft. And there is the body of someone lying on the ground. As you approach, assuming you continue approaching, you see a man just like twitching. He has claw marks coming down across his chest and one that has basically severed his neck. So that his head is just like almost hanging by what's left, and somehow the lights are still on, like there's a nerve or two that is still connected, providing him the clarity to be able to, like, his eyes just like looking off into nowhere. And Vaughn, as you step into the moonlight and look, you recognize this man as the one that was speaking to Lawrence Vane at the pub when he was like, well, gotta go to work, and put on his cap. He must be the night watchman of this mine. He's wearing that uniform, the same uniform you saw him in, and he's just laying there. And the entrance to the mine lies before you.
How many of those tranquilizers do we have?
I'll tell you. Two.
Ooh.
Vaughn cannot abide this spectacle of suffering. This is too much. Like, I don't know if you remember in Peru, one of the donkeys was dying.
Oh yeah,
just shot yeah. it. Like, there's Vaughn has heard people screaming and crying in no man's land, and the mercy of a
let's see
a
if he's responsive first.
Less painful death.
Wait, I got first yeah. aid.
His head, like, literally is just hanging there. It doesn't even make sense that he's still making a sound. It is straight out of a horror film.
So, is there a way where can Carter perceive that he's about to do this? Well, I was going to say, like, hold on. Like, I know what you're thinking, and it's great. Well, it's not great, but I know what you're thinking. If you fire right now, this thing will know we're coming.
Well, don't fire. I see what you want to do, I think. Do you have the mental fortitude to do what you want to do or to walk away? Do you need someone else to do it?
Well, it was a syringe, not a gun, right?
Yeah.
So it's like syringe, a knife. But... Like, Carter has a knife, right?
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to shoot.
Oh, okay.
Awful.
Yeah.
He's already dead.
No, he's dead. He said, we can't give away our position. These two kids could die. This guy's already done.
He's already dead.
How do I... Okay.
Okay.
Carter walks up to him with this knife, I guess.
What? I think that's absolutely awful. And I think also Vaughn, even as...
I'm not happy about it, for the record. This is not a dog napping.
He got the schnauzer.
As Vaughn's religious sort of mania is taking further hold, he has his... he's less willing to play fast and loose with human life. So sure. It's like, no, I'm sorry, old man. And it'll like stop you. It's like, I wish there was more we could do for you. I wish there was more we could do for you. And just sits with him there and maybe like just watches the lights go out.
Says a little prayer.
Yeah.
Fares might say a little prayer for the first time. Watching.
The eyes just like someone is controlling them with a mechanism. They're going back and forth and up and down. And eventually they just stop.
And Vaughn is like completing a silent prayer and then stands and is like,
let us retrieve those girls. That they do not meet a similar fate as this.
And he just walks into the mine shaft, I suppose.
And Fair as well, like, gently close his eyes.
You walk into the mine shaft.
Now, Vane had a torch with him when we went through the passage before. Has he been hanging on to that this whole time?
I think it's safe to say he's been hanging on to it. It did Let's fall from lit. His hands when he was socked. I think there's a good a chance as any that it stayed lit.
Let's get that going.
He's got the torch. It is very dark in there. And as you start to enter, it's also very moist. You can hear dripping. So the fact that it's dark and maybe slippery as well... Dangerous footing. Do you provide any other light source, or is Lawrence your light source?
We had flashlights, right? Did we never we have those in the thing?
Great. Yeah.
All right, just keep in mind how many hands you have, what you're manipulating. So you enter the mine. Lawrence is like, should I continue to go first?
I think, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I can't hold a light with my gun, so that would
I've got this dog.
I could have one in one hand, because I've got a handgun in the other.
And I've got a handgun, too. I might just put a hand on Lawrence's shoulder. I'd be like, we're right with you, old boy. I think if anyone stands a chance of bringing her to her rational senses, it is the sight of someone that she loves. I suppose it's best if she sees you rather than us approaching.
How is your relationship, by the way?
good. She doesn't resent your nightly
dragons.
Your
any money?
We love each other. We love each other. She is so special to me. That's why I've gone through all this trouble to try and save her. All right.
Really?
Yes.
Carry on then.
I will go. Please.
And he proceeds forward, and you just go into this mine shaft. It's so dark. You're about 10 feet in, and it's almost like the outside world doesn't exist because of how cavernous this is. And you see him sort of slip a little bit and regain his footing. You look down, and the floor is like soaking wet. The way it slopes, the floor slopes in here. All the rain that you've got over the past few days has not flooded, but the rain has gone downhill into here, so the rocks that you're walking on are all glistening. And he says, all right. Okay, it's all right. All right. Should I call her?
No. Let's keep going.
No, all right. You heard anything?
And he puts the torch over, and you see a splattering of fresh blood on the wall. Not a lot, but a little. Just sort of dripping, he holds the torch by there. And then, after you get about 25, 30 feet in, you all hear, without any sort of check, the echoing sounds of a stifled, small scream.
There, this way.
And he starts walking ahead a little bit. And so he's getting ahead. He's like trying to follow. You hear that sound again. And you follow. And you hear another sound now of like a...
Oh, dear.
He's
stops in his tracks, and as you catch up to him, you see a large space. Couple things. You see one of the girls lying on the ground. She's got a cut, maybe a puncture or a slice on her neck that seems to be bleeding, and she is breathing very heavily. Still alive, but bleeding. In the back of this space, there is an 8-foot-tall, gray-skinned beast with arms that extend almost all the way to the cavern floor. It has pointy ears and long, sharp teeth that it is sinking into the leg of one of the girls, who is just like paralyzed, looks like maybe still alive, as it's feeding on her. Head over to roll 20 and I'll show you what this creature looks like.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Oh yay. Oh no.
That's like almost troll-like, you know?
Horrific looking creature. And Charles is dumbfounded. Everybody give me a sanity check.
Yeah. Oh,
why am I calling him Charles? Lawrence. I think I've called him Charles before.
Well, it's Charles. British.
Did you say sanity?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence failed.
Hard success.
Oh, no.
I need to start rolling some physical dice here. Roll 20's like
you're born
roll
succeeding.
20, yes. Roll 20's like we believe in you.
You've got this.
I'm hoping for Margot's, like, and my fun sake for playing a character, I succeeded, but I'm hoping there's still some sanity lost.
I got a hard success. Yeah. As well,
my current sanity is at a 33 and I rolled a 35.
Oh no. No.
And you can't spend luck on sanity rolls.
Why can't you just roll up 100 instead? All right, so the sight of this creature, if you passed your check, you take 0 sanity. Vaughn takes 1d6, as does Lawrence Vane, at the sight of this whole thing. The girls, the feeding, everything. 1d6. Now, where you've already taken 4, there's a couple problems with this roll.
That's right.
If you get a 1, 2, or 3, it's bad.
Sure.
If you get a 4, you go indefinitely insane because you will have taken your threshold for the day. If you get a 5 in one pop, you'll pass that threshold and then also, like, have to roll that. I mean, there's a lot going on here. You pretty much, let's see if you roll.
Just roll that 1 and we're fine.
Just got to roll a 1. Just a 1 on a d6. Here we go.
That was the worst laugh, Kate.
Now that I know where to look for those online rolls. I'm just like watching. Like, oh, God.
That laugh was amazing.
What could that laugh mean?
The good news is that I didn't roll a 6, and I didn't roll a 5, but I did roll a 4, which does push me across the threshold.
All right, so you've taken 1/5 of your current sanity in the day.
That's right.
Which means you are indefinitely insane. Now, that can mean a lot of different things, and so I'm stalling while I look it up, because I can't remember. I want to make sure that I get every little thing correct here, because there's a lot riding on it.
Yes.
Talk to me about what you're thinking while I'm looking at this.
Great.
All right, so he becomes, on losing a 5th or more of the current sanity in one day, the investor becomes indefinitely insane. No investigator is able to shrug off this amount of sanity drain. A day, in this instance,
is defined by the keeper, usually lasting until the investigator reaches a place of safety in which they can rest and recover their wits.
Sounds like where we are right now.
Right. It seems like you'll be fine in like 10 minutes. No. Depending on the situation, it may mean surviving until dawn, sitting down for a nice cup of tea, or having a good night's sleep. Indefinite insanity lasts until the character is cured or recovered. So the more sort of prescient thing is that this will now last until you can... Like, it'll last for the rest of England, really. So any other sanity you take, you any sanity break now makes you indefinitely insane.
Unless I get receive help.
Unless you receive some sort of help. Like, by morning, you'll probably be okay, but you're back to where you were at the end of the New York thing, where just any little thing sets you off.
Right.
Now, what I'm trying to remember, I believe... You are going to have a bout of madness from this. Michael, can you just speak to that real quickly behind the scenes? I believe that, yes, you do have a bout of madness.
Yes.
All right, so...
Yes, so a bout of madness. Let's.
And we'll see you next week!
Yeah.
All right, so how does this manifest? I am right, holding...
So how does this manifest? Yeah, let's collaborate on this.
I've sustained the shock of seeing the effigy of the deity, and now I see the taint.
There it is,
as it were.
See the taint. Maybe there's some part of you in this moment, because this seems even more horrifying to me in a weird way, where you see this horrible creature feasting on this child's leg, and suddenly your snap lets you pierce the veil, and you actually see this beautiful young woman feasting on the child's leg. So it's almost like you can see beyond her transformation into how you've idealized Eloise in your mind. You see this girl doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you out of it. Now, you can still act. This is more of like a role-playing exercise for the rest of this encounter, because that's what we're in. We're in an encounter. Now, those of you who have guns drawn, which is everybody except Carter.
Old Dagger Carter.
Old Dagger and Dog Carter. Let's get into business here. So, Margo, your dex is...
Wait, sorry, what happened to Lawrence?
Yeah, what happened to Lawrence? He failed.
And the dog.
Oh, yeah. He's
the dog roll?
The dog is pissing all over. Carter.
Oh, the dog's
quite mad. Shit. What the fuck? The dog lost. The dog has a different sanity system. But, yeah, what happens to Lawrence? I'm going to say Lawrence, backs up when he sees what his sister has become and sees what she's capable of. And as he backs up, he like slips and like falls backward and hits his head. And he's just like screaming on the ground, and his screams are echoing throughout the cave, sort of adding to this
element of surprise.
And it looks at you. Margo, you have a dex of 80, but with your gun drawn, that'll bring you up to a 130. Margo, you have a dex of 55, but that will bring you up to 105. You get a plus 50 with your gun drawn. Vaughn, with yours, you go from 40 to 90, which is also clutch. So, as usual, Margo, you go first in this horrible, horrible situation.
I mean, somehow still able to keep her wits about her while this is all happening. The one child is off to the side, like bleeding out, but fine for now. The other child is being eaten.
Yeah, and I'll say, as the combat is beginning, it kind of flings the child down or drops the child down, because now you guys are its focus.
It sees us.
Yeah, I don't
Troy,
want you to
is
be
this
afraid.
Like,
to,
yeah, are we in like a... Talk about the geography of this situation. Like, are we in like a bowl? Like,
it's kind of like a bowl. Yeah, there's another thin little pathway on the opposite side here. But this was the first larger room that you came into, and it must have felt safe enough to stop here to feast.
Okay.
So there's one way in and one way out.
So I feel like Margo's remembering the town or the stories of. That the beast was shot, like, in the chest and, like, still ran away. type of thing?
Or was that some wolf?
Yeah. Or were they even shot? Was it just like a flavor, like, yeah, I shot it, so it
yeah, I took care
must
of it.
Have died. Case anyway, she's thinking about all that and hoping it's not true because she's going to shoot at the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Like any normal sane person would do.
All right.
All right, so I have my...
It's one shot, right? You don't have multiple shots, or do you have multiple shots? You have the... ability
for
to
shotguns,
shoot.
I can fire twice at the same target with no penalty taken for the second shot.
Wow.
It's a penalty if I try to shoot a different target because shotgun, I guess.
Right.
That makes sense. So I can do two per round, same target.
All right, and you don't take the penalty die because normally with automatic fire or something like that, you can shoot, like I think Feyruz could shoot three times, but each takes a penalty. Now,
yeah,
if you get into point blank range, you're getting a lot closer, but then you get a bonus die.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds tempting. Maybe if I was, like, a little desperate. But I don't think she wants to get the point-blank range yet. But, yeah, these are my personal notes from Michael from a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can do... I'll do the one. I have a separate shotgun score.
Ooh.
It's a fail. It's a 55.
Okay. You can spend luck on combat rolls.
Can spend luck on combat rolls, yeah.
It's just, I have two in this round. So it's like, do I just want to roll the second one and then maybe try to push that one? Or no, I can't push.
You can't push, it's just the luck sitch.
Yeah.
How much luck are you sitting on?
I have 29, so I could make this one a hit, I think. 50, 55 to 34.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a lot.
Like almost all my luck.
Take your other shot.
I'm just gonna try to take my other shot and see if
it
works.
Take your other shot.
Okay.
That's a 50. Another fail, but I'm gonna spend my luck on this one to make this one a regular success. So that would be 16 points of luck.
Okay.
16 points of luck. Regular success. Okay. How much damage do you deal?
Damage.
Well, it sounds like it depends on how her distance, according to Mike.
Well, the way it works with ranged firearms is you either need a regular, hard, or extreme success based on the range of your gun and the distance. So, you're not like where it's not diving for cover. You're just rolling one of the. As long as you get a regular success, I'm going to say that you're within the requisite distance to hit it, because you didn't go up close to get that bonus die. You are. What's the range? Do you know what the range of it is?
The range doesn't have it on the character sheet. Which is
okay.
Fine.
Well, weapons. I'm going to say you're within range for a regular success to be a hit.
Okay.
And we'll figure out the exact range.
I'm also like, I feel like I use my weapons so infrequently. I'm trying to understand what this damage means again. It says 4d6 slash 1d6. I'm assuming one is like extreme success and one is regular.
4d6 slash 1d6?
Oh, 4d6 is 5 yards. Okay.
All right. So I think you're 5 yards away. I think
this is a pretty enclosed space.
Yeah, pretty enclosed space.
Really?
Five yards is
15 feet.
That's 15 feet.
I think so.
I don't think you're shooting a shotgun from 30 feet away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I didn't think about it like that. Yeah. I just assumed you... Okay.
So like 3 or 4 feet, like you did with Makanga Madari, that was like point blank range, shotgun in his face, and you fired. This is going to be 4d6 damage.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. So that's... Oh, wow. 9. It's 14 points of damage.
All right.
Ooh, nice.
14 points of damage. So, you know, the way shotgun blast goes off, just like scatters, and it hits, it's like boom, 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 boom. And it does damage. It's bleeding. But it does not look fazed by the damage at all.
Oh.
You heard it, but it's still standing.
Does it seem like it won't drop until like it's like physically can't do it anymore and like its brain will just keep going?
You almost feel like it's the whatever its skin is like protected, like it didn't do the full amount of damage that you wish that it could have done.
Okay.
So kind of shrugs it off a little bit.
You see me miss the first one, but hit the second one. Do a lot of damage, like more than she's ever done using the shotgun so far. And like seeing this beast still just like keep going. Terrifying.
Feyruz,
you are up.
Feyruz has seen this whole thing happen right in front of her. And you can see her eyes kind of dart as she's like thinking to herself. And she turns back towards Vaughn, plants a big fat kiss on his lips. And with the syringe that they have gotten, because her strength and con are pretty high, will run towards this thing and try to stab it in its neck.
Oh my god. Feyruz Gibran rushes at this thing with one of the two syringes. All right. I feel like this is a brawl here, okay? And it's going to do what monsters naturally do, which is fight back. You're trying to stab it with this syringe, and it is going to try and fight back. Of course, the way it works is like, you guys have the option to dodge. I have the option to dodge too, but monsters tend to just fight back. When you dodge, tie goes to the, you know, it's good to tie. Here, if we tie, where you're the attacker, you're going to do damage. But if I get a better success than you, high risk, high reward, you're going to take damage. So give me a brawl roll as Feyruz just rushes at this thing with a syringe.
Look, I'm going to click on roll 20. But
I'm going to throw up.
Oh, dear.
What?
That is a failure that I cannot recover from.
Beyond luck range.
Beyond luck range. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I almost looked at the pulp rules, and I was like, oh, God, no, that's no good. All right, so let's see what happens with me. 91. That is a fail.
Oh.
So I'm 91 on the fight back. You don't stick the syringe in. It goes to claw you and misses. You guys have been blessed for 31 episodes with crazy rolls going in your favor. Will that luck continue? Vaughn, you are up. You have a gun. You are the love of your life. You're feeling
safe.
Just
made out a little.
You just made out a little.
Like, I think that maybe like shook me out of my reverie a little bit. But yeah, I'm as you said, this madness is sort of manifesting in that, like, I think Vaughn's interpretation of this is, I am not seeing, I saw the beast, for a moment, but I've been gifted with a vision, not of the beast, but of her soul. There is some part of her that is still uncorrupted and alive. Even though I'm seeing just a young, my idealized version of this young patrician girl, like, eating a child looking at me. In some way, this is maybe even more terrifying.
That's what I'm saying.
than a horrible werewolf. And then I see this attack take place. And now, yes, I've got to assist to save the life of this woman who's willing to sacrifice everything. We are all of us called to great things, but perhaps the greatest of all things is sacrifice, and she is demonstrating the utmost of Christian virtues. And so, what sort of man would I be if I allowed her to make this sacrifice in vain? Bang!
Pop!
And I will try to assist her in this attempt by distracting or stalling this beast with a pop from the handgun.
Keep in mind, where you're shooting into melee, you get a penalty die. On a fumble, you hit Feyruz.
Cool. Well, you needn't worry, because that's a failure. But I can spend luck to make it a success.
Yeah. Yes.
But, but I've got to roll the penalty.
The penalty die. Okay.
Did you get that close? You got right in there?
Sorry?
You got up so close that it's at penalty range? Or you're doing the multiple?
It's penalty because I'm
It's penalty because he's shooting in the melee.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Into a melee situation.
Brutal. Yeah.
Does the penalty die worse?
Way worse.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. And the fact that you hit fumble means you hit your ally. Like, things can go real wrong real fast. But imagine, you're undergoing this thing. You're seeing the girl. You're not seeing the ghoul. And you're seeing Feyruz standing there, and you're like, boom, it hits the back wall. Chunks of limestone fly everywhere. And now it's her turn.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Just a question before.
Yes.
Did I still have it in my hand. I just wasn't able to stick it.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
So there's still a chance that this could happen. Right.
Also, just throwing it out there, if a shotgun did not do as much damage into her skin as we want it to.
14 points.
We just have to be prepared for maybe a syringe is not going to break through that.
But they drugged her, so. And
when
that
she
was
but when so, she was human, right?
We shall see.
All right. Anyway, I don't think we should not try it.
These things definitely should be running through your head. You've got a like high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
It is bleeding. Like, don't make no mistake.
Sure,
like,
sure.
When you hit it, it's bleeding. But like, without like spoiling the meta of the game, it has protection against that type of damage. I'm looking here at Lawrence's dex. So Lawrence didn't have a gun, but I'm going to say, Lawrence has a lower dex than she does in this form, so she goes. Okay. First attack is on Feyruz. Feyruz is standing right there. It is going to just go to rake its claw. Do you want to dodge, or do you want to try to fight back?
If I try to fight back, is that a brawl?
You tell me if that's what you think
or
you're doing.
Or is it just like a strength?
You could fight back with the needle, which would be, you know, melee, brawl.
Okay.
Is there a melee skill separate from brawl?
I think it's just based on, like, the weapon you have.
Yeah,
you probably don't have points in syringe, but you're trying to do a stabbing motion. If you have points
in
knife.
If I stab at her, I have a better chance than if I dodge. So I guess I'll just try to stab at her. I also have the gun in my hand, on the other hand. So
you do have the gun. You can't, I don't believe you can fight back with a gun.
With a gun.
Yeah.
So I will try, if I roll a brawl, and try to stab at her again.
Okay. All right, so you roll brawl, and I will roll mine. That looked, I can't tell if that's a good face or a bad face. You've gone through every emotion. All right, so I have a regular success.
I have a regular failure.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
All right, so she claws you across the chest for 7 points of damage.
Ooh, I'm still alive, but
now's where things get a little hairy.
Is that a major wound?
I believe that's a major wound. Yep, what is your total hit points?
That is a major wound. I'm at a major wound. I have a total hit points of 13. I'm at a 6, so it is at a major wound.
It's a major wound. I had my major wound chart open, and then I got so excited. I'm like trying not to be tense, but like I'm pulling for you guys. Give me 1 second here. Sanity. It's in combat. This is our second major wound in combat. Here we go. Combat flowchart. Oh, I love this. All right, so you got a major wound. This is real, real bad. Character takes damage. Damage is equal to
this.
More than half. All right, you fall prone. Give me a con roll. If you fail the con roll, you fall unconscious.
Luckily, this is like one of my highest success.
All right, so you fall prone as the and it's probably the best thing for you to take one big hit and hit the ground, because now maybe you can play possum. Mm-hmm. You do not fall unconscious, but tick the major wound box on your sheet.
Yeah, it's on there.
It now moves up to Margo. And goes to claw Margo. Margo, do you want to dodge or fight back? And you can't fight back with the shotgun.
So I definitely want to dodge. I'm not fighting back. I just did like a pretty, like I missed my first shotgun roll, but the second one, I could see that was a pretty beefy one and it didn't do much. So I'm dodging.
Okay, Ty would go to the runner here. If I get a higher success than you, it doesn't matter if we, it'll be a hit on my end. If we tie successes, then you will successfully dodge. Give me that roll, and I will do the same. Pee my pants. Oh, I rolled the wrong dice. You're lucky.
Oh my god.
I rolled 2 10s dice. I'm so nervous.
Okay. I was 1 point away from a hard success. I got a regular success.
I got a 17 under 52. That's definitely hard.
Wow. All right. So you dodge out of the way of this thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, so overwhelmed seeing, like, Faye Rouge just run into it and almost get swiped. So, like, maybe she's prepared for how it swipes for a second and is able to dodge.
Hum! In the light of the room, you dodge out of the way. It has another attack. Classic three-attack ghoul.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna have
to now I will decide if I continue attacking Kate, go after Carter, or go after Vaughn. 1-2, Margo. 3-4, Carter. 5-6, Vaughn. One.
I forgot what the numbers meant.
Yeah, I did too.
One is Margo. Oh,
no. I wasn't paying attention.
Another Margo. And it kind of makes sense. Like, it goes to claw you and misses. It uses its final attack to go and bite you.
I'm going to dodge again. I'm not. No.
All right, now, Michael, chime in behind the scenes. I believe her dodge roll gets a penalty or I get a bonus die. Because you only have one. I get a bonus die on this because...
Oh, because you're able to move.
Yeah, it's the outnumbered rule because I have more attacks than you do. Where you are dodging for the second time in a round, I get a bonus die.
I'm, like, exerting myself trying to dodge again.
I'm going to do this horrible maneuver on you. Give
you're,
me...
You're having fun.
I'm not. I'm very nervous. I'm very, very nervous. And go ahead. You give me your dodge. I'm going to give you this. Okay. Wow. Wow.
Wow. Wow, for sure.
I rolled a 98 and an 88.
Yes.
I rolled a 50 under 52.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Do you believe in miracles?
Skin of my teeth.
I cannot. A 98 and an 88. And you are able to dodge out of the way. You could have failed. It wouldn't have mattered. It misses on its third attack. Let's keep this party rolling. Carter, you have a dog and a dagger. What do you do? The dog's barking. Lawrence is... Actually, it's Lawrence Vane's turn. Lawrence looks to you and says, I'm going to give him a turn. You need all the help you can get. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? I have nothing.
Okay. All right. Troy, let's talk environment. We're in a mine shaft, right?
Yeah.
In this bowl thing. Are there loose... Okay. Are there loose, like, boulders and rocks anywhere?
There are rocks. What are you going for here?
I mean, to, like, get behind one and fucking, like, roll a boulder onto her.
Roll a giant boulder at her? What is your strength?
It's pretty good. But the reason I'm asking this before I even respond to Lawrence is if he can help me.
Yeah, I would say... that even if there was something like this, this thing is 8 feet tall. Any boulder, you'd need the size of a boulder to actually do damage to her. I just don't think even you and Lawrence could push it with enough velocity.
The other question is, structurally speaking, can we cave this motherfucker in?
You could, but then there is the question of the two.
We gotta get everybody out. We gotta get everybody out.
Yeah, and everybody else. I imagine, especially if you had dynamite, you could.
Okay, but that's... Okay, so it's not like things like support beams are rickety and we can fucking smash.
No, there are certainly wooden support beams. You could start hacking at those. Things could get real volatile.
Yeah, okay, forget it.
I love that this is what's going through Carter's mind. He's looking at boulders. He's like, maybe we cave it in. Kill them all.
He's just looking down at this dinky knife. He's got to think of something. All right. So Lawrence is talking to me. He's like, just talk to her. Say something to her. It's your sister.
Eloise, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Look, it's me, Lawrence. Look. And he goes up to her and, like, just goes to, like, pound on her chest to try and make sense of it. And I'm going to turn that into an attack roll that she is going to
attack him back.
Oh, shit.
So, no. If you'll pardon me playing with myself here, I'm going to do it straight by the book. So I'm going to use his brawl roll, which he failed with an 82. And she will fight back with a claw, which I succeed on a 30.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going to do... I mean, I'm doing this right down Main Street. I do 11 points of damage.
Holy
to
shit.
Vayne.
How many points
and he had 15 hit points.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow. He's a
that is a major wound. Yeah. That is a major wound. I'm shocked that he's not dead. I mean, she almost just died there. I love the, like, this can all just happen straight by what's meant to be. He's going to hit the floor. Let's see if he goes unconscious. He has a pretty good con, and I roll an 11. So he hits the ground, and not unlike Feyruz, does not fall unconscious. But tick a little major wound for old Lawrence Vayne. He just goes up, says, can you hear me? And she just, and he hits the ground. Blood squirts out of him. It's your turn, Carter.
Okay, so Feyruz has both syringes, right?
No, just one.
Yeah, I'd say you probably have the other one.
Yeah.
But it's not okay. Out. Yeah, I'm going to drop this dog and try to hit her with the syringe.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a way to at least position, like, get behind her? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you could kind of, like,
she,
take
like,
the
engage
long...
with Margot and Lawrence?
You take the long way around. You know, this is all happening in real time, so, like, yeah. While they're doing this, you could be circling the room to get behind her and kind of come up from behind and do that. It doesn't mean she's not going to be able to get you.
Michael saying I get a bonus. Oh wait, that's for somebody else. Fuck. That's an old message.
If you want to try and see if while this commotion is happening, you can stealthily sneak around, I would argue that maybe she wouldn't be able to try and fight back if you were
me,
to succeed.
I'll roll a stealth.
On a stealth, and I'm gonna do an opposed roll with her spot hidden in this form. To see if see what happens here.
No, it's failed.
It's finally nice to roll dice. All right,
so father, I failed.
All right, okay. So you kind of get around for her, and she just is like turning towards you as you go to strike.
Yeah, and he just goes, sup, and then comes at her with this syringe.
She goes to backhand you with her hand.
You said it was a brawl?
Yes, brawl. Unless you have a knife skill, which is better, you could use that.
I don't have any.
Basically doing a stab.
I have no skills.
All right, give me yours, I'll give you mine.
All right, I got a regular success.
I got a hard success.
Fuck.
Oh, no.
Okay.
She claws you
for
6 points of damage.
Ooh. Okay.
Jeez.
Is that major wound town?
I have 12 hit points total.
That's exactly major wound.
Fuck. Yep.
So give me a con roll to see if you fall unconscious. You hit the ground, not unlike Feyruz, not unlike Sir Lawrence Vayne.
Now I roll this shit. I got a 1.
Okay. That's great. So you've got to make, I mean, best possible situation there. You hit the ground, major wound, down half your hit points, and you're conscious on the ground. You look over, you see Feyruz hit the ground as well. Feyruz is conscious. Lawrence Vayne, you know, suffering some sort of break. He's down. Vaughn and Margot are the only ones up as we go into round 2.
I should have spent luck to go hard. It didn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered, right? It wouldn't. Fuck.
Yeah. Margot, you are up.
Oh, my.
God. Oh, God.
Good news is that we're all on the ground.
This is
So I'm watching it like...
Things are looking a bit bad for the mystery squad.
Right. I'm
not
watching
like this.
It down so my thanks. Friends. I don't want to, like, run away, because then what? But...
You could live forever if you run away.
I guess I could live forever, but then what is life?
Then this becomes
friends?
The Margot show.
Retrieve me as a zombie. I've left it in my will and the spell.
I guess try to shoot it 2 more times, because even though it's not...
You're up
going,
close now, though.
Going, I'm out of ammo.
Oh,
I'm out of ammo.
Reload.
I have to reload.
Okay. Okay. Reloading. You can reload.
Okay. Let me see.
I wonder if you can reload and shoot. I don't think you can reload and shoot on the same round. You can reload and fire 1 shell in a round with a penalty die. That's awesome. Thank you, Michael.
You basically, you could take this round to reload and then have both shots ready to go. You could go point blank, no penalties next round.
Yeah.
Or you could do this, but then you're going to have the same situation next round, no ammo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I want to reload and not do the penalty one just because the other way sounds smarter, if there is a way to smart way to fight this beast. I guess I'm trying to think, like, while I'm reloading, is there anything else I can do? Like, I don't know, shoo the dog in its general direction. So maybe it attacks the dog next.
Yeah, did you bring the dog with you when you snuck
you
around the back there,
Carter?
You
dropped the dog. You said you dropped the dog to get the
I dropped the
syringe.
Dog. Yeah.
You want to try and push the dog in the direction of,
like,
the... Eloise?
This is so awful. Good. Shoo the dog.
Of all the living creatures in this cave right now, I feel like the dog's got to be the first to go, right? Even more than us, the kids, this brother. Like, it's the dog.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's fine. With your move action, essentially, you're going to shoo the dog in the direction of this. Hey, in the meta of the game, it has multiple attacks. Maybe it'll use one of those attacks
Maybe
on the
it'll
dog.
Waste one on the dog. The dog's very small. Maybe it's got, like, a high dex. Who knows?
That might be the difference
so
between...
So while she's, like, fumbling to reset and reload, she's like, shoot, go this way. She's trying to corral it to get it from escaping to, like, go towards the beast or something.
Yeah, I mean, this is might be the difference between one of you definitely dying and two of you definitely dying. It is now Feyruz's turn. Feyruz, you're on the ground. You just got... Bang! Boom! Hit the ground, but you're still conscious, and you're down there. I imagine you could still shoot. You've got the syringe. There might be some sort of penalty die thing. Michael, let us know shooting from prone. I'm not 100% sure, but you tell me what you want to do. If you want to crawl over and try and stick it in its foot, I don't see any penalty there. But maybe you just want to unload. I don't know.
With everything going on, what are my chances of crawling back a little, just out of melee range at this point?
Good. Yeah, I mean, the way you hit the ground, this thing moved on to another target right away. So until you start attacking it again, there's a chance that it may just assume that you're dead. And it'll come and feast on you later when everyone else falls.
What would I roll for that?
Just to crawl back? That's your move action. That's your... Yeah. Yeah, you're crawling back.
Oh,
now,
so
if you
want to
do so stealthily, you can do that. You can try to stealthily crawl back.
I could try to stealth away. Yeah, I'm going to try to do that.
Okay. It's not looking at you. You hit the ground.
Extreme success.
Okay, I'll roll my spot hidden. I doubt that I did not roll an extreme success. So you move back, like, on the ground. You're just crawling on your stomach, gushing blood from multiple scratches across your chest. And
do I still have an action? Or is
absolutely. That's your move action. You're just moving back there, and now it doesn't see you, which may give you a little bit of a bonus or may cancel out any penalty you have from being on the ground.
I'm going to fire at this thing.
Okay. One shot? Three shots?
What am I able to do? Because I do have... It's a automatic.
Yeah, so with an automatic, you could do one shot with no penalty. If you fire all three shots... You got three chances to hit, but each one comes with a penalty die.
I'm bleeding. I'm going to just fire one shot and take those better chances.
Okay. How far back do you think you went?
I mean, what's the space like? And also, I'm crawling and bleeding, so I'm not sure if I'd be able to get very far.
Well, the reason I ask is that if you stayed within point blank range, you could go full auto, and that would cancel out the penalty.
Oh, let's do that.
For that, yeah.
Yeah,
and I would just, I would let your stealth cancel out any penalties from trying to shoot to the ground. So you basically give me three shots and see what happens.
All right. So is that's three?
Three guns.
Three handgun rolls. All right.
Yep, three handgun rolls.
And let me see how many were the. I mean, I'm just checking the damage on each one. Each one is a. So it's a 1d6 for each one?
Yep. And then if you were to crit, I think you get impale damage for a gun, which we'll deal with if and when you crit.
All right. So first one.
Let's see if we can get a hit first.
Is a success.
Nice.
All right. Regular success.
Regular success for 4 points of damage.
Okay. Some of that gets through.
All right. Second one is just no penalties. I
No just... penalties. Nice clean shot.
I fail that one.
Pow! Pow!
And third.
Point blank from
extreme
the ground.
Extreme success.
Yes.
Extreme success. This could be it. This is when you get damage, bonus damage, because you're using an impaling weapon. An impaling weapon, you get max damage. So what are you doing, a D4 or a
D6? D6, so 6 points.
So you get 6 plus an extra damage roll. And I believe the extra damage roll is another D6. Correct me if I'm wrong.
6! Yeah! Whoa!
6 plus 1 D6, so you do 12 points of damage.
Damn.
I'm going to lift the veil here.
I'm going to cry. Go ahead.
It has 1 hit point left.
Oh, what?
100%. It had 7. You just did 12. It takes half of that for 6. Damn. It has 1 hit point left.
Does it?
And the reason I'm lifting that veil is because if you do not take it out, it's probably going to kill one of you.
Oh, my God.
And Vaughn is the only one with a chance to do it.
Toss the dog!
It will then have 3 attacks. Hey, maybe one will be burned on the dog! But 2 of you are below half hit points.
My handgun skill is so low. My long gun skill is the high one.
How much do you have luck? How much luck do you have? I mean...
A fair amount. I might have to... use it all.
It's funny, we do such little combat. Whenever it comes back up, we have to, like, relearn combat.
Yeah.
Right.
I gotta relearn how to not shit my pants right now.
And, yeah, Vaughn is in this fugue state, just watching in his mind's eye Eloise Vane rip Feyru's open, slash into Tillinghast. This wild-eyed and feral young woman. And then I see the brave and doughty Feyruz Gibran just unload into this creature. In an unsteady hand, raises its pistol.
Point blank?
Yes.
Might as well get that bonus down. Bonus chance.
The bonus chance is what again?
You roll the tens die twice and take the better.
Amazing. Okay.
So if you roll a 32 and a 52, you would take the 32.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Back. Oh, wait. No. Not brawl, but rather. Okay. That's a failure, but I roll a tens.
All right. So you got a 62...
Okay, I'm going to spend... I'm going to spend 10 points of luck. Actually, no. I'm not going to spend 10 points of luck. I'm going to spend 20 points of luck. And make that a hard success.
I don't even think... At that range, you won't even have to do that. A regular success is enough.
And 10, 10 it is.
So would you roll a 32 and you spent 10 to make it a 22?
Or I'm sorry, a 12 to make it a 20.
To make it a 20. All right, so... you hit. How much damage do you do?
I will tell you. And the damage is not affected by that? I just...
No.
Okay, here we go.
You only get bonus damage on extreme success. You use regular success, hard, or extreme based on your range. But you guys are within range.
6 points of damage.
Ooh. And the creature falls.
Back to the pit from whence you came. Yeah.
The creature falls and hits the ground. And as it does so, it immediately changes back to the form of Eloise Vane. You see it just like almost melt into the ground. Its whole shape from 8 feet tall kind of melt into the ground, leaving behind this young, beautiful girl. More than half a size smaller
than the creature that it was. And she is just eyes looking straight up, wide open, dead. Lawrence Vane just kind of crawls over on his hands and knees over to the body and just like collapses on her, holding her corpse and just weeping. You hear the gurgles of the girl whose throat was punctured, still breathing, trying to breathe, the one whose leg was chewed. You look over Vaughn and you can't even tell in that moment if she's alive or not. Feyruz is down on the ground. Your fiance, Carter, down on the ground. Margot is still standing there with a smoking shotgun. We fade out of that scene.
Sawa? Sawa?
Vaughn, it's okay.
My God, we have to get that.
We will. No one else is going to die today.
From there, we see a series of, like, panning camera shots. We see the offices of Mickey Mahoney at the Scoop. We fade from one to the other, fade out of that, fade up on Miles Shipley's house. Fade from that into the Penhew Foundation at night. From there we see Empire Spices, the Blue Pyramid Club, Scotland Yard. All of these scenes are at night until finally we see a scene during the day. Kind of like fades in on this elegant country estate. There's like a long white picket fence surrounding massive acreage in the distance, and a beautiful three-story farmhouse estate standing in the distance. We see a car kind of pull into view. We just see like one of its tires. We hear the sound of the engine being turned off, dirt crackling from beneath the tires. We hear the sound of a door open and see a figure, can't tell if it's a man or a woman, walking up to a small sign that says Eagle's Grange. And we just slowly scan up the body of this figure, can't quite tell if it's a man or a woman, like I said, but we stop at their wrist, which is peeking out from underneath their shirt, and on the wrist is the trademark tattoo of the Order. The figure covers the tattoo with their shirt sleeve and begins walking towards Eagle's Grange. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, oh no!
Oh, baby!
Who could it be? Who could it be? Who could it be?
I don't give a fuck, we're alive.
Holy, I can't believe we survived.
Have a nice, relaxing role play at Eagle's Grange.
Please, just for the next four episodes, let's just chill.
We need some R&R.
We deserve it.
Oh my God, we did it.
I can't believe you
lived. Oh my God.
I can't believe it either. We survived.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.